I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation under the heavenly Father with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My name's Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. The intent of this program is to, well, basically study the Bible and go through the Bible book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And a little more than just reading it, we want to dig into it, see how it applies to our life today, see how much meat we can get out of it. And because this is about biblical studies, well, we're going to look into everything, every aspect of it. What some people say is not important, well, it's not important to them, but if it's in the Scripture, it's important to me. So we're going to cover everything and leave nothing behind. And if you see something that I don't see or I may neglect, you can email me. Find an email link there at my website, crosstheborder.org, and send me an email. Comments, questions, challenges, insights, whatever you may have. Put on the subject line, Cross the Border, or my name, Nicholas, so that I can identify that email out of the hundreds that we get here, and I can process it properly. If it's a question, I'll answer it, at least by the email, or I may answer it on the air. If it's a comment, well, know that I read them all, even if I don't answer them all, because some of them don't seem to require answers. So I thank you for the comments, and especially for the questions and anything that you may have that would pertain to biblical studies in any way. crosstheborder.org, and like I said, put on the subject line there Nicholas or Cross the Border, so that I'll know what the email is when I see it. Okay, we're in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 1. The Heavenly Father, Yahuwah, the Lord, is pronouncing the judgment. He tells them what is going to happen when the judgment comes upon Judah. He says, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, the bones of his princes, the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the hosts of heaven whom they have loved. Of course, there's a reference to their idolatrous, whom they have served and after whom they have walked and whom they have sought and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor be buried, they shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people, Jerusalem, slid back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spoke not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into battle. It's like dumb animals. They keep doing wickedness like a horse that rushes into the battle. Yea, the stork in heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. And here he is. You have Jeremiah out here crying out at the gate of the temple these words. Nobody's listening to him. How do you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen and the scribe is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? Therefore I will give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one, from the least of even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest. Every one dealeth falsely. And you know, to bring that up to today's, even from the, say, the evangelist to the pastor, everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed the abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith Yahuwah. I will surely consume them, saith Yahuwah. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the thing that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defense cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God, for Yahuwah our God, hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against him. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of his horse was heard from Dan, and the whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come, and have devoured the land, and all that is in it, the city, and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith Yahuwah. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? They have provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities. Strange vanities. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people I am hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. There is no balm in Gilead. Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of thy daughter of my people recovered? Chapter 9, verse 1, the book of Jeremiah. Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Jeremiah. And here's the phrase that gave him the name as of the weeping prophet. Yes, should we all weep for America? Huh. He's weeping because it's all lost. He's pronouncing this word of judgment. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. You ever feel like crying, but the tears just don't come? Verse 2, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like a bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Wow, I know what that feels like. I live in the land. I live on the land, and designated California. They even have a program now called Californication. Yes. And I know a lot of people will say it's time to leave California. The government is totally backward, constantly passing wickedness, giving licentiousness, giving license to the people to practice wickedness, adultery, murder, homosexuality. And that isn't good enough for the homosexuals. They want to redefine the word marriage. I mean, a picture in my mind. I got a picture of a man and a wife. That's a man and a woman, for those of you that don't understand that in California. And, okay, now I have a picture of there are two men. What's different? If one is called marriage, how can the other be called marriage when it is something different? No, they want to redefine the words so that a picture of two men or two women is the same as the picture of a man and a woman. Oh, none of those pictures are equal. Two are equal in abomination. A man and a man acting like a man and a wife. A woman and a woman acting like a man and a wife does not equal a man and a wife. Only one of the three is marriage. Well, but they're trying to redefine the word because they're not satisfied with license to do evil. Why aren't they satisfied with the license to do evil? They have the license to do evil. They can live together. They can commit their abomination all they want. They can even get the same civil rights, the same financial rights. They already have all of that, but it's not good enough because they hate what our Creator has established. And they want to make their licentiousness equal to what is lawful. It will never be. They can redefine the words for their own vocabulary, for their own gods, to make their own laws, but it'll never pass in heaven. It won't change the Word of God, which stands forever and ever, because He said, my Word stands forever. His Word will never license wickedness, ever. And all of those who practice wickedness will perish, while His word will last. They will perish with all of their licentiousness and all of their traditions and all of their legal machinations and all of their law books and all of their cases and all of their high priests will all perish. But the word of our God, the word of Yahuwah, will last forever. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor. And every one, they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit an iniquity. You know, I grew up in the public fool system. I watched the TV and all of the situation comedies and all of the movies. I grew up doing those things in a world, and they taught me lies. They taught me idolatry. Everyone lied, and I believed the lies until one day that someone gave me a King James Bible. And I started reading it. And the Heavenly Father, well, He touched me. Yeah, hear that song? He touched me. Oh, He touched me. Yes, He did. And I was walking down the road one day reading that King James Bible. And I had my own Damascus Road experience. Only it was on Plymouth Road. It was the road from Detroit to Plymouth, Michigan. And I was walking from Livonia to Plymouth on that road, coming from a little country church, reading that Bible, that $1 cheap Bible that they gave me, King James Version. But it didn't matter because the words were rich beyond reason, beyond the pages of the book, beyond the value of the cheap $1 Bible that they gave me as a gift. And I was reading in the Old Testament there, and the Spirit of God, His Holy Spirit, came upon me, and He spoke to me. Well, I didn't hear Him audibly, but something was going on. And He offered me the adoption right there on the side of the road. I was reading these words, that He is a father to a fatherless and a help to widows. And I was walking down that road, and I was fatherless. And that's why He adopted me. He offered me the adoption, and I accepted right there on the side of the road. And, well, things have never been the same. That's right. I learned that I had been taught lies all my life. It's been a long journey and a hard journey. It's been hard to learn. I was stubborn, I'll tell you that much. But He put up with my stubbornness and He got through to me. Because I'll tell you what, when He committed to adopt me, well, He knew what He was taking on. He wasn't surprised at my stubbornness. I mean, I was like an ass, you know, like a stubborn animal. Because everything I had learned was wrong. I had a lot to unlearn. How about you? Well, if you love the truth, you know exactly what I'm saying. Because most of us grew up and came out of the same wilderness, the same Babylon, the same Egypt, the same Sodom and Gomorrah. He brought us out and delivered us out of that slavery. And He teaches us obedience to His law and His word. And He teaches us that to love Him means that we want to do only the things that please Him. Come out of her, my people, He cries. That's what Jeremiah cried. But the people wouldn't come, for the most part. There will be a remnant that will hear the voice of the prophet Jeremiah, that will hear the voice of His servants proclaiming His word, whatever venue He gives them, wherever He sends them, to voice and proclaim His word. As He sends me, He sends hundreds of others. And most will not heed. Most will just go about their business, and they will be punished because He called, and they didn't hear. They would not hear. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith Yahuwah. Therefore thus saith Yahuwah, the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them, for how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out, it speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains will I take up, a weeping and a wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up, so that none can pass through them, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beasts are fled, they are gone. And I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate, without inhabitant. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of Yahuwah has spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth and is burned up like a wilderness that none passeth through? And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein. The parallels with America and Judah are astounding. Was this nation not founded upon the law of our Heavenly Father, that founding document? That declares, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Later on, they had an Articles of Confederation. These brother states and nations got together and said, let's defend each other from attack. Let's secure the liberty of our peoples together. Well, we're going into a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Your mercy flows like a river wide, and healing comes from your hand.
this King of Glory that pursues me with his love.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use, and then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, by calling First Amendment Radio at 559-781-3773. That's 559-781-3773. Or order on the web at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Okay, we're back. Cross the Border, that's the name of this program, and we're going to jump right back in here. Our discussion on the book of Jeremiah, we're in chapter 9, verse 13, and Jeremiah writes the words here, and the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein. America has forsaken the law of God. The laws, the principle, that great principle, you know, that this nation was founded on, that all men are created equal. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You have an entire nation of law founded upon that principle. And then later on, they had a constitution, and that's where the con began. Should have just left that loose confederation of states alone. But nope, someone had to get a constitution in there, and somehow they worked a debt into that constitution. And later on, they passed the 14th Amendment, which declared that all men born are naturalized, so they excluded those who were merely created equal. Now you had to be, you were only created equal if you were born. And with that came the challenge against about abortion or killing the innocent in the womb. Well, they weren't born yet. And according to the 14th Amendment, which changed the law of the nation from everyone being created equal, well, now you had to be created and born, which allowed them to kill the unborn. And the murders and the adulteries and the fornication, just on and on and on, year upon year, it just degraded from there. So we lose our liberty with every turn away from his law. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 13, "And Yahuwah saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. I will send a sword after them, till I have consumed them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Consider ye, and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears, and our eyelids gush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded, because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of Yahuwah, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth. And teach your daughters wailing, and every one her neighbor lamentation. For death is coming up, for death has come up into our windows, and has entered into our places to cut off the children from without, and the young men from the streets. Speak thus, saith Yahuwah, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvest man, and none shall gather them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." All you rich out there, all of you mighty, whatever you glory in this, that you understand and know our Heavenly Father. There's nothing else to glory in. That I am Yahuwah, which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt, Judah, and Edom, and the children of Ammon and Moab, and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. Hear ye the word of the Lord, which speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith Yahuwah, lean not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. And of course, he's talking about astrology and the planets and all of the deities of that the heathen worship, the sun day and the moon day and all of those things. Be not dismayed. Don't go after those things. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. This is the pollution of idols that enters into the house of the Lord, into the congregation of the children of the great harlot, the Protestant daughters. Don't they do this in their house at the time of that they celebrate Christ's death, Christmas? Merry Christmas, huh? Merry Christ's death. They deck it with silver, with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. Of course, I believe in context he's here talking about the idolatry of statues of wood decked with gold. But yeah, this is applicable to the so-called Christmas tree, which only comes out of paganism. Nowhere will you find a Christmas tree or any authorization for celebrating Christ's death, which is really an invention of the Roman Church, bringing in to Christianize their Babylonian worship, to wear their cloak of the Bible, while they did everything in their power to keep people from reading it, because they didn't really... Let's see what happened when people read the Bible. Well, first they'd want to reform the church like the great reformers, as they were all Catholics who read Latin. Yes, they read the Bible in Latin, and it still convicted them. They still wanted to reform it. And they don't encourage their people today to read the Bible either. But they do encourage them to bring the pollutions of idols into their homes and into their lives, and to worship statues decked and painted with silver and gold, and to decorate trees and ornaments and do all of those pagan rituals several times a year, rather than the abomination of doing anything so-called Hebrew, like keeping the feast days and the Feast of Tabernacles and celebrating the Passover. We're going to incorporate pagan worship and idolatry into the church instead, because we're free from the law. They deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but they don't speak. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. Yeah, they're just dumb pieces of wood and stone. They can't do good or evil. For as much, and that goes for all of the statues of all of the so-called saints, gods. Of course, who are the saints? Who are the called out ones? Who are the set apart? We are the saints. It's declared by the prophets of the writers of the New Testament. They declared that we are his saints. Not just special saints, that holy men decked in red and purple wearing fish hats have said these are the saints and made statues to them and say now you can pray to them. What a bunch of nonsense. We are the saints. Those who have entered his kingdom. Those who are the sons of God. Those who he has given the power to be called the sons of God. Those who live in his kingdom and reverence him, that desire to do those things which please him, those are the saints. We are the saints of God. We're not better than other men. We're just men who have volunteered to live in his kingdom and volunteered to do our very best to live by his law, so that we can love our God, Yahuwah, and love our neighbors ourselves, because that's what the law requires. Yahshua said it himself. He said, this sums it up. On these two hang the whole law and the prophets. You shall love the Lord your God. You shall love Yahuwah, your God, our Creator. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Loving him comes first. And there's a good reason that loving him comes first. Because if we love him, obedience to him assures us that we will love our neighbor as ourself properly. Because if we don't love him and we don't follow his law, then we were arbitrarily loving our neighbor as we think fit. And that's what many people in the so-called church do. They say, oh, we're free from the law. I love my neighbor as myself. I love God and I love my neighbor as myself. How do I know I love God and I love my neighbor as myself? Oh, I go to the church every Sunday and I tithe. Oh, gosh, I wonder how that works into the law's nail to the cross. It's very important that you tithe, though, and you go to church on Sunday. And I said, no preacher is going to let you get away with that one. Because after all, you know, that got to pay the, you know, the all of the salaries and the pensions and the health plans and, you know, and yeah, got to pay for all that. So, but how do we know that we love God and love our neighbors ourselves? Because we go to church on Sunday, we tithe, and we sing songs and we swoon before the Lord every Sunday, and we feel really good about it. And how do I know I love my neighbor as myself? Well, because I feel good about my neighbor. That's right. And I do what I think I should do to my neighbor when I think I should do it. But he said, on these two hang the law and the prophets. So that means we need to look to his word. And the only law and prophets they had at that time was the Old Testament. At the time that Yahshua said that, that's all they had. There was no other law and prophets. There was no New Testament. He said, on these two hang the law and the prophets, so we could look. Yes, now we have the New Testament. We can look there too. But I'll tell you what, I find nothing in the New Testament that contradicts what the Old Testament says. I see everything affirmed. Not only do I see it affirmed, but I see that Yahshua raised the standard. He said, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye. You have heard it said, you shall hate your love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your whoever hates his neighbor without a cause is guilty. So he raised the standard. He said, you've heard it, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look on your neighbor's wife to commit adultery in your heart with her, that you're guilty. So he raised the standard, actually, did he not? So not only can you not now not do the act, but you can't desire to do the act. If you desire to have your neighbor's wife, you need to repent because you've already sinned. Chapter 10, verse 5, they are brought pride. He's speaking of their false idols and their images. They are upright as the palm tree, but they speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Yahuwah, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. His name is great in might. That's why I want to learn to practice speaking his name. I want to get used to saying his name. I'll interchange it. Sometimes I'll say the Lord. But here it's just so fitting. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Yahuwah. And you'll see it there in the, if you're reading Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 6, you got your E-sword out and you mouse over it. You'll see it's the Hebrew 3068. A little window pops open and you'll see it there. The pronunciation in Hebrew, Yahuwah, pronounced correctly, of course, because the V is silent. And we know it's Hallelujah, not Hallelujah. It's not Hallelujah, as in Jehovah. But we know it's Hallelujah. That universal word that is the same in every language. Hallelujah. Praise his name. O Yahuwah, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, forasmuch as among all the wise men of the nations, in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver is spread into plates. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen, and the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. You know, it's funny. Blue and purple are their clothing. The silver and the gold. Yes, we don't have anything like that in the world today, do we? See, chapter 10 and verse 10. But Yahuwah is the true God. It says here, of course, in the Authorized King James Version, they translated it, but the Lord is the true God. Well, yeah, the Lord is the true God. There are many lords. Which Lord? You know, but in the original, in the Hebrew, there is a name given. But Yahuwah is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood. Molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. Yahuwah of hosts is his name. You see, you can read that in the Authorized King James and go, the Lord of hosts is his name. Well, that's not a name, is it? There's no name there in that statement. That's a sentence. The Yahuwah of hosts is his name. So he's declaring what his name is, what his name, who his name is. And I heard another host on another so-called program saying that something about calling on the name of the Lord. That statement came up, and he goes, well, that doesn't mean Yahweh or Yahshua or Joshua or anything like that. That was his proclamation. And then he went on to give an explanation of what it means about those who come in his name. Well, in a way, he's right, because our Heavenly Father judges the heart, and there are many ignorant out there who don't know his name. But what is he trying to say by this? That the name is not important. That it doesn't matter to him. And that's what I say. It doesn't matter to him. It matters to me because we're not going to really do a biblical study on the name. We're going to neglect that and say it's not important. No, I can't do that. Many others can do that, but I can't. I'm not going to say any of it is not important. That some parts of it, that the name, which appears more than 6,000 times in the Hebrew, I'm not going to say that somehow that's not important. That's not worthy of biblical study. And especially, it is worthy when you come upon a phrase like this, where it says in the Hebrew, Yahuwah of hosts is his name. And here, the word hosts is Tsabah. It says a mass of persons, regularly organized for war, an army, by implication, a campaign, a host. Yahuwah of hosts is his name. And that means that he uses whatever campaign, whatever hosts that he needs to use, and we see that he even uses pagan hosts to punish his own people. And then he punishes the pagans by using other pagans. And on it goes, because he is Yahuwah of hosts. He is. That is his name. His name is Yahuwah. So we come to the end of our broadcast day. You're listening to Cross the Border. And I'd like you to remember one thing. There's nothing more important than you cross the border into his kingdom, obtain eternal life. It is only those that are in his kingdom that will remain in his kingdom when their mortality ends. We'll see you next time. Hallelujah.